Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
For guys like me, Las Vegas washes away your sins. It's like a morality car wash.
Is that an actual gangster movie you've seen?
It's the only one.
We'll talk about that later.
You've
got some prime embarrassment coming. Welcome and welcome back. Steve Rosenblum and Trash Panda with you. He's in for Grody, he's in for Espo, he's in for Grody. We don't even know if Grody's part of the show or not anymore, but his name's on it. Saturday Suckage and the Waken Big Club. And we're going to the Score Hotline. Score Hotline is presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book.
And joining the show is BetQL host Ryan Horvat of BetMGM. Tonight, Ryan is brought to us today by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. And Ryan, I was just talking with you before we bring you on here. I hope you didn't have too much or any money on Baylor because they're getting worked right now.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, guys. I'm going to have to start. We're going to have to start treating Mark Grody like he's the Ben Simmons. guy well, never shows up to work. You know what? Actually, it's funny enough. So we were at MGM. We were doing our live remotes the last couple of days for the tournament, which is awesome. Mitch came up yesterday. Good times out in Maryland. So yesterday, after the show, I was playing poker and I looked at the line and it was 5.5. The spread was 5.5 for Baylor. And like, I like this Baylor team. I just don't love this Baylor team. Now they're the defending national champions, but they lost a lot from that team, including Devion Mitchell. So I actually took a shot with Carolina on the money line. I wish the price was a little bit better. It was plus 200. So Carolina's looking really good here. The only problem is I took the under, and I don't think either team's missed a shot for like the last 15 minutes. But I did take Carolina, luckily, in the upset. It's been a crazy tournament. Like, I've been going back and forth all season long. So I played a future on Arizona before the season even began. And then I'm watching the bracketology shows and Seth Davis and all these guys, and everybody has the same national championship. It's Arizona and Gonzaga. And so I was like, okay, well, I can't go chalk. So I switched a couple of my brackets and picks the last minute, and I went with Kentucky, and they get knocked out by St. Peter. Ooh. So my brackets are already dead the opening night. So it just shows, like, nobody knows anything when it comes to college basketball, really.
What was the number you got on Arizona?
On Arizona, so I got 25-1, and then I played it again during the season. After like 3 weeks into the season, it was 8-1. And then right before the tournament, it went down to plus 600, 6-1, because, you know, they weren't really even expected to be a top five team in the country. You know, there was a couple teams I did take a shot with, like in the Big Ten, Wisconsin was predicted to finish second to last in the Big Ten. Marquette wasn't really predicted to do anything this year. So if you play these things preseason, you know, that's the way to do it with the futures, because if you try to play it in season, you've already missed the number. You know, like Zaga right now, the Zags are like plus 300 to win the tournament. I would never play that because, you know, I thought last year's team was even better than this year's team and they couldn't get it done. So I usually only play the futures like in the beginning of the season, or if there's a decent number, you know, a couple weeks before the tournament, then maybe I'll hop on.
I'm curious now, since we're talking about one seeds going down, Kansas as a double digit favorite against Creighton. Do you like that at all? Are you interested in that? Or do you think Kansas covers the spread, or is it 12.5, depends on where you look, or are they in upset territory with Creighton?
So I think this is a good Kansas team. I don't know. Again, I don't know if it's a great Kansas team, but I feel like they have the easiest path as a one seed to the Final Four. And I can't stand Kansas. Like, there's not many. I really don't care, but, like, I'm just not a big Bill Self guy. I don't really like Kansas. But, like, with Creighton, I feel like they run out of gas today. Now, 11.5 is a huge spread, so I didn't play it. But if I was going to play this game, I'd probably only lay the points with Kansas. Like, Creighton, they were down 14 in the second half to San Diego State. They had to come back to win that game. Now they're without their starting center. You know, they're already beat up. They're without their point guard. So I just think that this is going to be a huge mismatch today. You know, Kansas is big. They're physical. I think they're going to kill them on the glass today. So if I was going to play this game, it'd probably be Kansas. I can't stand Kansas. But, again, I do think they have the easiest path to the Final Four, like if you look at the bracket.
Our guest is Ryan Horvath, BetMGM, and we're talking NCAA tournament. We're talking all the college hoops. Is this you keep talking about good teams, not great teams. And
yeah.
I haven't seen actual numbers, so it's anecdotal. And maybe I just watched too much Loyola basketball and wondered, has college basketball gotten so much worse? You were talking about nobody's, you know, you bet the under, and here nobody's in North Carolina and Baylor, nobody's missed a shot or whatever. It's just, it's been an awful looking tournament. The passion has been there. My MVP is the Indiana cheerleader who rescued the ball atop the game clock, right? But and that was the highlight. But there's been, and that sums up the kind of bad shooting there is, that a ball would end up there in this tournament. Does it seem worse than usual? Is it worse than usual? What's your take on this? And how does that affect? And how does that affect where you go with your money?
Yeah, you know, and it really does, like, because some of these spreads are just so inflated. You know, like, I just got done talking about Kansas. They're 11.5 point favorite against Creighton. You know what I mean? Like, this is an NCAA tournament game, and they're still double-digit favorites. I just think, even though they're a good team, that's a little bit inflated of a number. That's why I wouldn't play it. And it's like, I do agree with you. And going back, like, even 10, 15 years ago, like, when I first really got into college basketball and you would just fill out the bracket or maybe you started picking games, I felt like, you know, right before March, like, you could pick out the 5 to 6 teams that had a legit shot to be national champions. Like, especially, like, in the early 90s, you know, it was Duke with Christian Laettner and Bobby Hurley, you know, UNLV. But there were great teams, even the Fab Five. Like, they were a great team, especially that second year before they all bolted. Now, with the one-and-dones, you know, they're really – that's why I keep saying they really aren't a great – like, Gonzaga is a great team. They're a really good team, but, like, look at the conference they play in. And the conference was pretty tough this year, but they got beat by St. Mary's. They can be beat. They were beat by Alabama, who wasn't very good this year. Alabama got eliminated in the first round by Notre Dame. They can't shoot the ball. That's the thing. Like, with the one and done and not in – that's why I look at a lot of these mid-major programs, right? Like, I think a lot of the good, really good teams – like, Murray State is a very good team. They have 31 wins this season. They're nationally ranked, so they're not really going to sneak up on you. But still, the committee did them absolutely no favors in their first-round matchup. They had to play San Francisco. So I think, like, the good teams, the teams that I enjoy watching are actually these mid-major teams, you know, because they have four-year players. They have coaches that are looking for their next opportunity. They run great systems. So I look at some teams like that because that's just how I felt about college basketball really the last couple of years. And now the tournament's a little bit better this year because last year we had no fans. You know, we had that Jalen Suggs game winner against UCLA, and there was really nobody there to celebrate it. But I'm with you. You know, there's been a lot of blowouts, I feel. So I'm hoping that now, you know, when we get to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and we get these better matchups, we see some better games, you know. Because nobody wants to sit and watch a blowout. I mean, it's 71-62. I guess Baylor's making a little run here, but, you know, some of these games have been unwatchable here in the first round.
How are you approaching the rest of the tournament now? Like, let's say your team you bet on or team that you had favored in your bracket, like Kentucky, gets knocked out. How do you approach the rest of the tournament as a team that you might pick up on from the round of 32 on from a betting perspective here?
Yeah, like if I'll just kind of look at some numbers. Like if I was going to, like, I've kind of missed out on the futures market, but maybe take a look at a team like North Carolina, who's getting absolutely no respect. And North Carolina, like, the difference between college basketball and college football, like, college football, if you have two early losses in the season over, right? You're not going to the college football playoff. College basketball, especially this year, like, a lot of these teams struggled to start the season. You know, like, even a team like St. Peter's, who I think is like the best team in the nation against the spread, they're 21-9 against the number. They got off to a slow start, like 4-8, I believe, or something like that, because I mean, COVID was kind of ridiculous in the start of the season where, you know, a lot of these guys were going into the protocol. Some teams were injured. But I look at a team like North Carolina, you know, new head coach, first year head coach, and they struggled out the gate. And now, you know, to end the regular season, they won five straight. They beat Duke at Duke to ruin Coach K's special day, which was hilarious. And now they're on fire. So if you want to play the futures market, look at a team like North Carolina. For me, I'm just going to stick with Arizona. I do think Arizona is that good. I'm rooting for that matchup against Gonzaga because it would be a great storyline because you get like the student versus the teacher, Mark Few trying to get his first national championship. But I just look at, you know, different matchups. I like to play a lot of underdogs. I don't play a whole lot of favorites, especially double digit favorites. So like take, for example, like tonight, even though I do think the Zags are great, I'm going to play Memphis because they're 10.5-point underdogs. They have a ton of talent. Jalen Duran's awesome. Imani Bates like left the program. He was a top recruit, and then he came back to the program, and Penny actually put him in the game the other day. So I don't know how much time he's going to get, but I just feel like 10.5 is way too inflated of a number. So I'm going to take Memphis. I think they could keep that within single digits. They're really deep, and they have some pros on that team. I don't know if Penny Hardaway is a great coach, but I also – the other thing is I don't think he is the head coach. Like Larry Brown's on that bench. He's the head coach. It's the same thing with Juwan Howard at Michigan, you guys. Like that's what I would do right there is if you have a Juwan Howard or a Penny Hardaway, you make them like the spokesperson for your program, right? And then if I'm a kid, I want to get recruited by Juwan Howard, you know, a member of the Fab Five. You know, these kids, they don't know who Larry Brown is. So you see that a lot in college basketball now, like these big names as the head coach. But I do kind of like Memphis to cover the number today.
Our guest is Ryan Horvath of BetMGM. And you were talking about double-digit favorites or double-digit underdogs. Let's talk about double-digit seeds and who's your favorite. You got Michigan. Today you got Michigan against Tennessee. You got Richmond against Providence. You got St. Peter's, everyone's fave, boss fave, against Murray State. And you have New Mexico State against Arkansas. Tomorrow you got double-digit seeds in Iowa State against Wisconsin. That could be a rock fest. Miami, Florida against Auburn, and Notre Dame against Texas Tech. So which double-digit seed, if any of them, do you like to move on?
Yeah, great question. And I hate to say it, and I know, you know, a lot of smart people are on Tennessee today, but I could see Michigan actually knocking off Tennessee. Now, they're 5.5-point dogs. This team has been up and down like all season long. I didn't think they were going to win that first round matchup against Colorado State. I just thought their guards were going to get eaten alive, and they didn't. Hunter Dickinson was awesome. He had 21 points on like 8 of 10 shooting. And then, you know, they're without their starting point guard right now, but they have a senior, Eli Brooks, who just really just kind of like took over the responsibilities, the point guard responsibilities. And he had 16 points, 12 in the second half. They shot 54% in that game, and they out-rebounded Colorado State 36-25. And I bring that up because Tennessee is on a roll right now, and they look really good. They just won the SEC tournament last weekend. But at the same time, like the teams that they've struggled with this year have been these big physical teams. So if Hunter Dickinson doesn't pick up too early fouls, if he's able to stay on the floor and have a game like he did in that first round matchup against Colorado State where he has 20 points, I think that they could be the team that advances, even though it's been such a shaky season. Like, I didn't even think they should be in the tournament. They have 18 wins, but now watch them get on a run. And then I do like Richmond. I've been playing Richmond a lot this season. And this is actually, so we've seen this matchup. I keep going back and forth with this one, like what I want to do with Richmond. You know, if you look at them, like offensively, they're pretty solid. Like KenPom has them 71st. They're tough to stop in the paint. They could get to the rim. I don't know how I feel about this matchup, against Providence, because Providence all season long has been a very hard team to figure out where, you know, they have 25 wins or whatever it is, you know, and they're in the top 10, but every single game they've played more, you know, one possession, two possession games than any team in the country. So they're not blowing teams out. They don't really cover the spread, but they know how to win these close games, and that's the only reason I'm going to stay away from that one. But I have really liked Richmond. They've been playing really good lately. And, again, I think that if they could play a physical brand of basketball, maybe they could pull off the upset as well.
And, Ryan, can't let you out of here without asking about the Illini. A lot of people around here, of course, care about them. They got away with one last night against the Mocs of Chattanooga. They go into Houston again as favorites. How do you feel about the Illini taking on Houston?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, full disclosure, I'm an Illini fan. If you didn't pick up when I brought up the Bill Self thing, I do.
Couldn't pick up on that one.
So, you know, I am going to play them. So yesterday, actually, it's funny because I was on with Bernstein 2 weeks ago and I told him, like, he asked me about my Cinderella team. And I said, I really like Chattanooga. This is before the tournament. I said, they're going to be a tough out. I could see them getting all the way to the Sweet 16 if they get the right matchup. And then they drew Illinois, and I said, this is a terrible matchup. I think Kopey's going to eat them alive. And we're watching that game, and it looked like they were going to lose that game. In fact, like, I live bet Illinois on the money line plus 200 at one point in that game, or plus 175 was the number that I got on the live line. It looked like they were going to lose. They were down 8 points at the time, and then they rallied to win that game. I do like this matchup against Houston. Now, Houston's a scary team. They went to the Final Four last year. They bring back pretty much everybody. They're kind of a boring watch. They play really slow pace. They're one of the toughest teams defensively in the nation. But I just think that if Illinois can run with them, if they knock down their shots, if Trent Frazier knocks down his shots, you know, and Kofi doesn't get in early foul trouble again, and he has 20 points, 10 boards, I think they're going to advance. I think that they could beat Houston. I was actually surprised by the line. If anything, I'd probably just take Illinois on the money line. But I do like this matchup. I know a lot of people are going to like Houston because they did go to the Final Four and have the experience. But I think Illinois is more athletic and more talented.
Ryan, really appreciate you jumping on. I know this is in the middle of a big party for you, but thank you for taking time for us today. We appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the games this weekend.
You too.
That was Ryan Horvat, brought to us by BetMGM. Download the app or visit BetMGM.com today. Must be 20 years or of age or older, Illinois only. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 426-232-5537. Or by texting ILGAMB to 53342 in partnership with Paradise Hotel Casino.
He's Trash Panda. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage. He's in for Grody, who may or may not be on the show. Not right now. John Heyman tweeted out, Cubs were in on Carlos Correa, pre-lockout at least, in terms of showing interest. But after it, they decided to spend the money on outfielder Seiya Suzuki, add Anderson Simmons as a starting shortstop, and generally spread the rest of the cash around.
Here's the reaction.
That's management crap. That's just being a
And we can get into
puppet.
We can get into a whole different discussion on the way that owners and agent, or maybe not agents so much, but owners for sure, and teams have conditioned fans and using various media members like John Heyman and Bob Nightingale kind of put the notion out there that, like, oh, we only have so much money to spend, when, newsflash, there is no salary cap. There's just this artificial number that you have to pay a little extra if you go over. You can't, the idea that, oh, we can't sign this guy because we're spending the money somewhere else is irrelevant in Major League Baseball. And it's a conversation that I think we need to stop having because, oh, look at the Dodgers. They have this huge stacked lineup. No one wants Freddie Freeman. Okay, bring them all in. Bring them all in. We'll pay the luxury tax. We want to win. So the idea that, oh, we're spreading the money around instead of signing Carlos Correa is irrelevant to me. It's not a topic of discussion for me.
Yeah, you're carrying water for ownership in that case. I don't believe that for a minute. The Minnesota Twins should not outperform you in that way.
No.
And again, Carlos Correa's one-year contract, which is probably all it would be with Minnesota, amounts to 1% of, we were just doing comparisons. We're doing Cub math. Jason Benetti, don't take offense. We're doing Cub math. So it was one estimated to be a little more than 1% of, the purchase of a kickball team in London, just by comparison. So if a hypothetical major league owner were to try to purchase a kickball team in London, for that kind of money, you would think there would be enough to get a shortstop. Because when you bring up Simmons's name, and when a national reporter says we're going to add Simmons, like, you're talking Ronnie Cedeno with training wheels. He's an awful hitter in an age of greater offense than ever.
He's a defensive replacement at best on a good team.
Now, you look at what the Phillies did, and the whole Nicholas Castellanos thing will be why pitchers will revolt in Philly. That's an awful defensive team. I get why when you got a whole group of them. But the thing about Carlos Correa is you don't need to hide him. He can get the ball, can't he? He can field the ball. He's a good player. He's a good player defensively. He's a good player offensively. But I will say this. I am anticipating. I'm here. I'm getting my popcorn ready for the Joe Kelly, Carlos Correa showdown a whole bunch of times a year, 18, 19 times a year. I'm all for that. He's Trash Panda. I'm Steve Rosen. We'll take a break. We come back and you know what, nerd boy?
Yes.
We have some new movie news, some embarrassment for you. And we also have our weekly Mondegreen. We have to bring that to you. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So, do you like stuff?
Yeah. We're all about stuff here. It's Saturday Suckage, home of the Wake and Bake Club. Steve Rosenblum and Trash Panda with me, Adam Studzinski. In for Grody. I don't know. Do we keep saying that? It kind of sucks.
I don't know,
but it seems like that would be appropriate for this show.
I think that's the, well, that's what we do on this show. Everyone's always in for someone.
It is. And I think we're in for nobody. Nobody's in. Next week, we're not even here.
The big boy show's
taking
over. Spiegel
and Bernstein are in for us. I love the whole idea. Spiegel's doing a show and bringing with him the dreaded Dan Bernstein. That should be good.
Yes, of course.
That should be good. Okay.
Well, I'm sure it'll be great.
It will. It will. It's quite the show. It will be quite the show.
I mean, I don't know how they're ever going to live up to the 11-2 time slot on Saturdays.
Or live down to it.
Yes. How can they possibly live down to our incredibly low bar? Yeah, that's the question.
Spiegel's already seen it, been a part of it. Although I will say this, two of the best Saturday shows ever I have experienced, I did with Bernstein. One was we had soccer nicknames. We could never do that show now for some of the nicknames we gave out. Oh, we did that in 94 in advance of the World Cup with Chicago being home of Soccer House. But the Travis Knight, when the Bulls paid Michael Jordan over $30 million, when they paid him that money, we did the show, and they had to renounce their rights to Travis Knight about 20 minutes after they drafted him. We did the show. We said, we'll talk about whatever, baseball. We'll talk about the Cubs and Sox. But we want you to share with us, what's your favorite memory of the Travis Knight era?
So is that where the bit that everyone always brings up when there's like the joking bit, like what's your favorite memory of whatever? Is that where that comes from? Is that where that originated? Or did you guys steal that from someone else?
I don't recall. I just know that when he walked in that day, we discussed, I said, I have this idea, we should do that. And we did it just as an aside. I thought it would be a throwaway. And we spent 3 hours and 45 minutes on what's your favorite memory. People were calling in. I got so emotional, but I remember driving in on the Kennedy that day and we were all stopped because they changed Travis Knight's hair on the top of the Bigsby and Crothers building. Or the time, my favorite memory of the Travis Knight era was when when they won that 17th ring and he was responsible for scoring like 170 points. It was it became that way for 3 hours and 45 minutes, to the point that word made it back to Travis Knight's family, I think across the lake in Michigan. And they were not happy with us. They had no idea what was going on. And back again, we had fax machines at that time. That's what we were dealing with. It wasn't. We didn't have the interwebs.
Someone took the time to fax. Hey, stop talking about my game.
Right. So if you do that, and the very first segment of the first show I ever did with Dan Bernstein was that he came on the air and told me that Deion Sanders was overrated. Sanders must have signed it. And I said, what kind of idiot are you? Well, he's a man who takes away half the field. That means you've got 10 other defensive players to cover the rest of the offense. And he's taking away half the field and your best player. And you have no use for that in any kind of passing offense. And whatever, the segment ended. And apparently he later heard from his family. He's like, and he came back to me and said, well, they all agreed with you. And they think it's really good that you told me that on the air.
That's great.
He talked him down.
So wait, he heard from the Deion Sanders family?
No, no, no. From his own family.
His own family.
His own family was happy that he got smacked around on the radio.
That doesn't shock me.
Some of the best shows I've done, some of the best exchanges that I've done were with Dan Bernstein. So, Matt Spiegel, enjoy. All right. So, I heard from people and at my Trader Joe's, and there's one man who is Obi-Dan Kenobi, who he's a man of significant wisdom and size. And he heard you last week explain and try to defend the idea that you've never seen The Godfather.
Yeah.
The
50th
anniversary was this week of its release. He felt embarrassed for you. This man was trying to take on all the embarrassment that you exuded or should have exuded. And he felt embarrassed for you. And the look on his face as he was explaining this to me. It's still a crime. I cannot believe you're still in sports talk radio a week after admitting you'd never seen either of the first two.
I'm shocked too, but they let me back on apparently, and I still don't care.
You need to work on that. You have homework. You need to work on that.
Well, I'll get to it eventually.
We also talked about Mondegreens, right? Misheard song lyrics. Mm-hmm. That's the word for misheard song lyrics. So the one we talked about, which is the most famous, most popular, best known, was his friends pumped it up. We were discussing Courtney Cox last week. So here's our Mondegreens. It was Elton John. It was Tiny Dancer. Can we get right to the line? Do we have that?
No. I don't know if this version has lyrics. It probably doesn't. No, it wouldn't, because it would be on right now. So this version doesn't have lyrics.
I needed the lyrics. That was the whole point of a Mondegreen, because it's misheard lyrics. So
I misunderstood what you were saying. I thought you just wanted the music underneath
and
as
I was
going to
sing the wrong lyrics?
Oh, yeah. Well, next week then.
This sucks.
Oh, wait, we're not on this.
All right. It was such a good idea. We were going to do Mondegreen's misheard song lyrics, so we bring on the song. It was
Hold Me Closer,
Tiny Dancer was misheard as Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza.
I mean, I still think this sounds good.
Yeah. It sounds like a really cheesy piano lounge.
I think it sounds great.
All right. So, we were discussing other Mondegreens, and there's one by Creedence Clearwater. I almost said Clarence Creedwater Revival.
Clarence.
That will be a character in a manuscript I write.
Clarence Clearwater Revival.
Clarence Creedwater.
Yeah, this one is
Bad Moon Rising. Yeah. And so the misheard lyric, and instead the correct lyric is, there's a bad moon on the rise. But it is misheard as, there's a bathroom on the right.
See, I never heard that one before.
Oh, yeah.
I've never misheard.
Well, you're not
the
old
lyric.
Enough. Ask Sweet
not.
Alice and Shooter. They know Creedence.
Well, of course
or
they do.
Clarence Creedwater.
Clarence.
That's a Clarence great name Creedwater. For a character. What is
Clarence Creedwater. What show would he be in?
I don't know. He'd be in a manuscript. What would he do? What would I have to write this? Because I've got other names for characters. There's a bathroom on the right. Okay. Then there is one from Led Zeppelin.
This one I'd also never heard.
You never heard this one? No, I'm familiar with this Mondegreen, this misheard lyric from Stairway to Heaven. And the lyric, the correct lyric is, and as we wind on down the road, our shadows taller than our souls, which is a really nice lyric from a group you can have and don't bother me with them. But the misheard lyric, the Mondegreen for that, and you can hear the high-pitched, the screeching, the spirit-eviscerating sound of their voices. And there's a wino down the road, I should have stolen Oreos.
That's a good one.
It is like a really good misheard lyric.
And hold on. We got to get into this just a little bit. Because you told me before the show you're not a Led Zeppelin guy. And you're allowed to have your own wrong opinions. But you're going to give me crap for not liking The Godfather, which... You say it all the time. Legendary.
Legend, yeah.
And it's and not sit there and not agree that Led Zeppelin's a legendary band?
No. Oh, don't bother
What's wrong
me
with
that.
You?
Because I think spirit eviscerating and soul crushing would be descriptions of their music.
Can you at least... All right,
somebody has grabbed onto their private parts and is swinging like Tarzan, and they are... They are screeching
so
at a level that only Costa Rican Amazonian monkeys can understand.
You don't like the vocals. What about the rest?
There is no rest. That runs you off.
That's I don't know how
windows,
it runs you off.
Windows shatter.
Do you not like Rush then?
No.
You don't like Rush?
It's okay. I mean, Tom Sawyer's, it's tolerable.
Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. I'm trying to bring you. Can you at least,
out of the bad taste
can
club.
Can you at least level with me on John Bonham being one of the probably the best drummer of all time?
Well, you know what? Dead Keith Moon wants a word with you. And
well,
Nandi Bushnell is better than all of them.
Who?
Yeah. Okay.
No, what was the name? I didn't hear you.
Nandi Bushnell.
Nandi Bush. I'm actually not familiar with that one, which is shocking because I've studied the history of drumming extensively. Like Gene Krupa, legend.
Nandi Bushnell.
And look, Keith Moon's also
Bushnell
awesome.
Blows away your Foo Fighters guy.
Dave Grohl?
Yep.
Well, he's not that high on the list for me.
Okay.
He's really good.
All you got to do is use the Google machine. You don't know Nandi Bushnell? I'm right. This is in your wheelhouse. Interwebs boy, Google boy, YouTube boy, TikTok boy. She's playing Rush. She's playing Tom Sawyer.
Oh,
one
okay.
of the toughest things to do. Nandi Bushnell is killing it and smiling while
is.
She does it.
I know who that is. Yeah, she's great. She's not John Bonham. She's not. I mean, come on.
Okay.
You got me all out of sorts. She's not Neil Peart. She's not Thomas Hack of Meshuggah.
That's the Jewish.
What about Danny Carey?
The Jewish band.
Tool? Come on.
Tool. Yeah. Okay. So anyways, a 312-323 texter. I'm with you on this. The Manfred Mann Earth Band. That is a famous Mondegreen that we cannot say on the radio. We are not about to say that. You can be blinded by your own light and your own misheard lyrics. We are not about to do that. But what was suggested to me, and a texter came up with it, the 312 texter came up with it. My Joe, my frozen guy from Trader Joe's, said, you have not done my most famous Mondegreen. And it was by Jimi Hendrix, and it was Purple Haze. And the... That used to be, yeah. So the lyric is, excuse me while I kiss the sky.
Yes.
Misheard as, excuse me while I kiss this guy.
See, I wasn't that familiar with that one either.
That's the Mondegreen.
It doesn't
and
seem...
Joe said that Jimi Hendrix was in on the joke. He knew that was the misheard lyric, even before Mondegreen had gained fame as that word describing misheard lyrics, and he said it on stage, pointing to his bassist. Excuse me while I kiss this guy, and he hooked it. We had the lyrics. We finally had the lyrics for Amanda Green.
Yeah, we got that one.
Oh. Okay. Anyways, that was it. I wanted to bring up our weekly Amanda Greens. I'm sure we will come up with more, and people love them. And we can only do ones we can air out. That's why we can't do Manfred Mann and Blinded by the Light. We just can't say that on the air.
You have to tell me off air what the Amanda Green for that one is, because I don't know it.
Okay. I'll have to, because I can't.
Turn your
mic
off. I could
do it if we were just on the interwebs, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Everything online does.
FCC doesn't regulate that.
Right.
There's only terrestrial radio here.
So thank you for suffering through the embarrassment again of admitting you. Wow, you've kind of doubled it in that you...
How have I doubled?
You haven't seen Godfather, and you're caping for... Led Zeppelin.
Oh, I think you're in the wrong on that one. I think you're in the vast minority on that. Come on.
Trying to save you more embarrassment. So last night the Bulls played, and it was not a happy thing. They have a winner die game coming up. And yesterday was also the anniversary on the night that they lost in Phoenix. It was also the anniversary of the famous facts. I'm back. And that led to the repeat three-peat, my friend. It also led to an interview that Chuck Swirsky did on these airwaves with Chairman Reinsdorf, disputing, talking about, explaining some stuff in that Tracy McGrady said about nearly becoming a Bull and a trade and who said what and who did what. So we will let Chuck and the chairman explain it all to you. After this, Steve Rosenblum, Adam Studzinski, Trash Panda is in for Grody on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Trash Panda in for Grody, Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. It's just part of being American heroes. It's the way we work. So
it's a public service.
It is. It is. And we're happy to do that. We're happy to do our part. And we weren't good enough to stop the Bulls from sucking against the Suns. The Suns did not have Chris Paul, no Jay Crowder, and no problem. The Devin Booker had 20 points in the first half, and the Suns beat the Bulls by 27 points. Second time on over 125 again. They did that, right?
Back-to-back games?
Back-to-back, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they lost to Sacramento to start this thing. Sacramento, by the way, a team that got beat by a million points by Boston. So Boston's a game and a half up on the Bulls. The Bulls are a game ahead of Cleveland. Two games up on the Raptors, who miraculously lost to the lame Lakers of LeBron. And Monday means win or die for the Bulls against the Raptors. Just make sure you don't end up in that play-in situation. But also during last night's game, halftime, Chuck Swirsky. Halftime, you heard here on the Score, Chuck Swirsky sat down with Chairman Reinsdorf because yesterday was the 27th anniversary of the I'm Back facts. Parents, tell your kids about that machine. And it was tied in with a podcast kerfuffle created by Tracy McGrady of saying he was going to be traded to the Bulls and Jordan didn't want him and there was this and there was that. And so here's the discussion that Chuck Swirsky had with Chuck and the chairman at halftime on these airwaves.
Welcome back on the Chicago Bulls Radio Network. This is Chuck Swirsky. Yesterday, I had a chance to sit down with the chairman of the Bulls, Jerry Reinsdorf.
So, Jerry, on a recent podcast co-hosted by two NBA players, former NBA players, Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson, McGrady implied that on the eve of the 97 draft, a deal was in place that would have consummated a trade between the Bulls and an unspecified team, perhaps Boston, would have made McGrady a member of the Chicago Bulls. But when Michael Jordan caught wind of this, that he threatened to retire. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I understand that there's a lot of truth to this story, but the one part that's not true is that Michael Jordan in any way communicated with the Chicago Bulls his displeasure over the trade. We had won five championships at that point. And, and Krause came to me and said, look, I'm not sure, I can't guarantee you, I don't know how strong I feel about winning a sixth championship, But I have a chance to, trade Scottie Pippen to the Boston Celtics for two very high picks. I think they're picks number 3 and number 6 in the draft. And Kraus, if we had done that deal, he was going to take Tracy McGrady and he was going to take Ron Mercer. And I thought long and hard about it, but my decision came down to this. What would our fans want us to do? Mm-hmm. And I concluded that our fans would want us to win a 6th championship, even if it meant that we weren't going to be that good afterwards. And that's why I vetoed the trade. I never heard from Michael Jordan about it. If Kraus heard anything from Michael Jordan, he would have had to have told me about it. But after this podcast, I contacted Michael Jordan and asked him if there was any truth. And his reply to me was BS. And that's the case. I don't even know if Michael was aware of it. But he certainly never communicated to us, never threatened to retire. And the only reason that trade didn't go through was I felt that our fans wanted a 6th championship. And I wanted a 6th championship.
That's the chairman of the Chicago Bulls, Jerry Reins.
Chuck Swirsky and the chairman talking about that. And interesting that he having the discussion on the 27th anniversary of Michael, well, David Falk's company sending the I'm back fax. And that was that. So you got a repeat of the three-peat. But this year's Bulls look like they gave it. It was a wonderful ride. They were really good early. They appear to be contending for the spot that a lot of us had kind of hoped for. I thought if they avoid the play-in, that's a really good season. I didn't know what these parts would bring. I didn't know Io would be this good. I don't think anybody did or wouldn't have been drafted in the second round. I didn't know what effect Caruso would have. You don't know what injuries and the way this has played out. Isn't this kind of where if they settle in the 6th spot, isn't this what you, or the 5th spot, they're a game ahead of Cleveland now. Isn't this like if you go back to the preseason, or can you not eliminate what happened during the season and the best record in the East at one point?
I think that you're right. This is coming into the year about where we thought they would end up. And they raised their own standards by winning the way that they did. And so now that's why fans react the way that they are when they lose to these good teams that they were never better than. And now they did manage to beat a few good teams, what, 3 of them to this point?
Yeah.
And that's most, and I think all those wins came when they were pretty much healthy. And you also look at the fact that they're still without Lonzo Ball. Caruso's just getting back. I know Patrick Williams too. But I think that they still have lost a little bit of an edge. And that's where they're starting. Because early in the season, they would go into the fourth quarter still like kind of hanging in with a team that they're clearly better than, and then they just bury them. They're not doing that anymore. They've lost this little edge that they used to have.
That edge was DeMar DeRozan taking over.
Yes.
And now everybody's double, triple teaming him, making everybody else beat him. We'll see how that plays out and see how resourceful the Bulls are. So he's Trash Panda. He's in for Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in a couple weeks right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So, kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
It.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.